This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Hey, this is John Maynard with Badger Claw Outfitters, and you are listening to the Impact Outdoors podcast.
I kept telling him, son, you have to have patience. Turkey hunting, just patience. I know that's tough. You're like 8, 9, 10, whatever, patience, you know. And we could hear him moving, and I said, we're going to move over to this pecan, like, you know, not too far, 15, 20 feet to this other pecan tree. So, and I said, I want you to stay right behind me. We had some good cover where they were coming on this other side of the orchard. And I'm literally straddling this, and we're hunkered down, straddling this smaller pecan, and I've got my rifle, my shotgun across my lap, and call, and hey, Danny's coming. I just, oh, wait. And he come, and I knew he was right there, and I stuck my head up, and that bird, poof, whoop, boom, gone. And my son looks at me and goes, patience, Dad. Oh, I will never forget that. And to this day, patience, Dad. And I was like, yes, I know, patience. And if I literally would have waited probably 20 more seconds, I would have had him. He would have been on the orchard, and then, you know, it's game over at that point. But
hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Impact Outdoors Podcast here. And we're super excited to this week be debuting our 2024 Hunt Fish Podcast Summit episodes, and we're starting out with a good one with my good friend John Maynard, owner of Badger Claw Outfitters, based right here in Texas. And John is quite the outdoorsman, growing up in the outdoors from up in the Pacific Northwest, and then moving down here to Texas and starting his business here, making handcrafted leather goods and waxed canvas goods, and just really putting everything he has into his products and making so many great items for people to use, just in the outdoors in general, hunting, fishing, camping, everyday carry stuff. So it's been good to have him, and he's been part of the summit for the last couple of years now, helping out as a sponsor, and super excited that he was able to join us this year. So let's go ahead and jump right into this episode with John Maynard.
This episode was recorded live at the 2024 Hunt Fish Podcast Summit, where podcasters and guests from across the country come together to talk about their passions for hunting, fishing, and conservation. This year's summit is brought to you by the Wild Sheep Foundation and Women Hunt. Also sponsoring this year's summit is Texas Bighorn Society, Spot Stalker Guide Service, Metro Emergency Upfitters, Badger Claw Outfitters, Captain Experiences, Ron Hoover Marine of Galveston, Coffee Bean Vet, Trinity Valley Ranch, and the Warren Ranch.
I am really excited to be back at the Warren Ranch here in Santa Ana, Texas. If you're watching this, you can see the beautiful lake right here behind the lodge. I'm really excited to have John with Badger Claw Outfitters here with me today. And welcome to Impact Outdoors, John. Thanks for coming and being a sponsor this year, and just and you helped out last year with us a lot, and really excited you could be here this year.
Yeah, I appreciate it. This is really something special that you've put together with all these people coming together from all different parts of the outdoor industry, and you know, can't beat the view.
So. I know, right? It's like, I just want to go out there and go fishing. So, yeah. But we'll do that later tonight, yes, for sure. But yes, you've already been out and catching some fish
yeah,
this morning.
Yeah, sure did. Yeah, it's so. Doing a little bit of getting a little doing a little recon before the fishing yeah. tournament this weekend.
Yep. So you're big in the outdoors. Yes. And I met you through some other acquaintances that are here, and we got connected last year and stuff, and I really enjoy following your social media presence and with your business and everything you got going on. So
it seems like a train wreck to me half the time, but
I think anybody who has a small business probably thinks that most of the time, just because I mean you're in charge.
You wear seven different hats by the time you get to the end of the day.
But tell us a little bit about what Badger Claw Outfitters is, what you guys do, and then we'll kind of jump in to kind of your history in the outdoor world and kind of what you're doing. So
this is our 13th year of being in business as a full-time manufacturing company. We started real small. It was basically a hobby for me on the leatherwork side. We just did custom leatherwork for some buddies of mine that were knife makers and blacksmiths. And it was just kind of a stress reliever from another whole business that we were in at the time. And then that came to an end, and I was like, well, what are we going to do now? And I was like, well, a lot of people are wanting me to do leather work for them. And I didn't, I mean, I just kind of figured it out on my own. I mean, I watched a couple YouTube videos, and I just wasn't finding on the market what I wanted. So I'm like, well, I can make this myself. Yeah. And it took a while, you know, before I had some people, hey, can you make this for me? They wanted to pay me. And I thought, you want to pay for this? Like, are you kidding me? I didn't even want to take anybody. And I actually, looking back, it was probably the best decision that I waited about a year before I really sold anything. Mm-hmm. Because fast forward 13 years later, anything that comes out of our shops, you know, like we don't sell factory seconds. We don't sell because I want everything to be the best possible quality. So I'm really glad that I didn't let some of that early stuff get sold, because I'd be buying it back. Like, I don't want to show anybody. Right? Don't show anybody that. That's trash. So we did the custom leather stuff, and then we were kind of servicing like the bushcraft market, the guys that are into the more traditional outdoor skills. And so we got into the wax canvas goods, and growing up in Western Washington, Filson Company was always like, you know, that's kind of a staple item for us, being that they're from Seattle. Yeah. And so, which Filson's a lot of leather and wax canvas. So I dove right into the wax canvas, and I could sew leather and do all that, but I had to hire somebody to help me, you know, work the sewing on the canvas goods. And so we started one item at a time, releasing different canvas items, pouches and bags and stuff like that. And when we actually first started, I waxed all my own canvas, dyed and waxed. It was horrible. It was, you know, you're making your own wax concoction, and it was just, it was ugly. And so I was like, you know, there's gotta be a better way. Oh, you can buy this stuff, you know, pre-waxed. So the learning curve, you know, kind of took off from there. So,
right.
And what was cool was about, must have been about 6-7 years after we started, Filson approached us and wanted us to build a product for him. So that was kind of like the pinnacle of,
that's cool,
you know. And so we did, and now again fast forward 13 years later, and the majority of our business is probably doing wholesale work for other companies, building either our designs with their label on it or complete designs that are, you know, proprietary to those companies. So which I like that large, you know, doing big batches of things and supplying some really, really cool companies around the country with stuff.
Yeah, I've seen some of your new some of the equipment that you use and some of your posts and stuff you made, and I was just like, man, how is he cutting all these things? And then I was like, oh, that's pretty cool the way you do that.
Oh, with our big press. Yeah, that's actually a new addition to the shop here recently, is that 25-ton hydraulic press.
Yeah.
So we have dies made for, you know, we'll get a pattern for something, and then I send it up to a company actually up here in North Texas called Texas Custom Dies, and they'll make us what they call a clicker press die. And it's that, you'll see those on my feed sometimes, the video, those big cookie cutters, basically.
That's what they looked like, exactly.
Yeah. And so we can run a hide across there, and I mean, I can pop out 100 patterns in 15 minutes.
It's like making cookies.
Yeah, it is, really, like, yeah.
That's exactly. What I was showing my kids, as I was like, look at this.
It's like, yeah, it's cool. And so that's one of the keys to, you know, larger scale production for us, because you know, we manufacture it from beginning to end pretty much. Mm-hmm. And we don't the only stuff we kind of outsource, like I have some other smaller companies in San Antonio that do some contract sewing for us on, but that's more on the nylon and canvas end of it. All the leather goods come right out of our shop. So.
Yeah. So I see a lot of hunting related items that you make and the term EDC is very popular
all
these days.
Pouches and bags.
Yeah,
and
so it's cool to see that and there's so many uses for a lot of the products that you make. I mean, like anybody.
Yeah, it's tough when people ask, "Well, what do you guys specialize in?" I'm like, "Well, kind of every. I mean, it starts in the hunting and camping travel. I mean, that's kind of the three. If you were to pick three big, areas, that would be it. But a lot of our stuff, you know, transfers over into complete other industries of stuff that people use. And I get customers all the time going, "Hey, did you know you could use this for?" I was like, "Oh, I never thought of that, but I'm glad you did."
Right.
so we get customers from all different types.
Yeah. Yeah, and like you gave me last year, like some small like first aid kits and one of the small bags and stuff,
pouches
you make, and then I needed it yesterday, and then it was in my hunting pack back at home. So, but everyday carry stuff. I mean, like you can use it for a multitude of things. So it's not just outdoor related.
Yeah.
So,
oh, for sure.
So people understand that and stuff, and it's been cool because. When I was a kid, we took shop in junior high.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And one of the things that we got to do a little bit in there was kind of dive into leather a little bit. And I really got into it. And I remember getting, I don't know, my grandmother, or my mom, or dad, or whatever, took me down to the Tandy Leather Goods store.
Oh, yeah. Still in business
and
today.
I know all my stuff is still there back at home. I had my marble slab or whatever that I did everything on. And I was making wallets and coasters and just using the little
tooling
stamps.
Yeah,
and sewing wallets and a couple other different things I made. But I really got into it for a while. I was making a lot of stuff in a way.
You know, it is. And it's cool because at the end of it, I was involved in scouting with my boys. And so, of course, we did a lot of leather work. And it's always was neat because they're like, they made something. Like, I've got something here, you know. And we do knife safety and they carve a bar of soap. Okay, well, that gets tossed out. But when we do leather working and stuff, you know, they all go home with something no matter if it's turned out, they think it turns out great no matter what, you know, and so it's, and still to me, you know, as, I love having a physical product that I can show that I made at the end of the day, so, or 1,000 of them or whatever.
Yeah.
So.
No, that's cool. Yeah. That brought back some memories. Just thinking about that, here recently, using all that. And it's like, man, I need to get that stuff from my parents' house and bring it down here and let my kids have a go at it and stuff. And maybe we can bring them over to the shop and see.
Oh, I'd love to. Absolutely. Yeah. Come over and I know I've got a group that, I put up a thing just on our neighborhood kind of Facebook page. I had all these scraps of leather. And then we get down, we try to utilize every piece, but I mean, boxes and boxes. I thought, I got to get rid of this and I could probably sell it by the pound. But so I just throw a post out, say, hey, anybody in the neighborhood, you know, new arts and crafts, you know. And I had a bunch of people came over and picked up bags of it. And I had a teacher and she uses it for some of her classes.
Yeah.
And she said, well, could I bring some students over? I said, absolutely. Bring them over, you know, if you can get a field trip or I can come, you know, I can go there with basic stuff. But so because we used to do that all the time, we had our shop classes. We had woodworking. We had auto shop when I was in school. I don't know if you had auto shop.
Yeah, we didn't have auto.
Yeah, we had auto shop, wood, and metal shop. So, but they don't do that anymore, it doesn't seem like.
Yeah. So how do you use your iPhone, I guess.
Yeah, that's
is the shop class. But yeah, we did lots of woodworking, did some of the little bit of the leather tooling, and then we didn't do any metal fab or anything like that. But I know when my dad went to school, he was always talking about, you know, their shop they had working on cars and stuff like that. I was like, that'd be pretty cool. I know the high school where I'm at in Dickinson down by Houston, they still have automotive shop class and stuff at the high school.
We had what was called the Street Rats, and it was our drag race group, and we'd go to Seattle International Raceway, and they'd do high school drags and shops and everything. But now, of course, you can't really work on a lot of the cars today like you could back then.
Right.
Everything's computerized, you know.
Yeah.
So, and that's kind of another reason that doing what we do is, you know, we don't use a lot of high-tech equipment other than, you know, the clicker press. And I have a laser that we do some engraving. But on the whole scheme of things, it's not really high-tech stuff. And so it's kind of nice to be able to create something out of with simple tools, you know.
Yeah.
and be proud of what it is. And so, but then we got into after kind of servicing that outdoor, like the bushcraft outdoor survival skills, you know, it's like, well, I mean, I've been into outdoors and hunting and fishing. Well, we could probably do some of these products. And then it's just like a rabbit hole you go down. And then you get to a point where you're like, okay, we're kind of making too much. Like, we need to really focus on what are we good at. And I think that we've got it dialed in right now pretty good.
Yeah, it seems like you come out with something new that is very useful, you know, fairly often. And
without getting too crazy, you know, right. Too many variations of things, you know, because the market is big. I mean, especially the outdoor and the hunting. I mean, you can name 50 brands right now off the top of your head probably. And so that's, oh, there's a lot of competition. Yeah, but the market's huge. The outdoor market is massive. And we do have a bit of a niche because we are almost 100% made in the USA. Unfortunately, there's a few things that we can't source here in the US. They just don't make them, or they don't make them good enough. And so maybe it's a brass fitting, or maybe it's a certain screw or a buckle or something like that. So some of those products, you know, we can't say that legally that it's 100% made in the USA, but we're probably up to about, I'd say 70% of our products
That's
are
awesome.
100% made in the USA. And as far as manufacturing goes, everything is done in Texas, either at our two shops or the one contract shop that I use in town. Yeah. So,
well, I know the thing I'm really excited about is yesterday you showed up and you brought me a pair of buffalo hide gloves.
Oh, yeah, those are great.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited just to wear those. They're so nice.
Get them
nice,
dirty.
Man.
Like, they get better as you get them dirty, so I know you
will. They look so cool, and they feel really good on your hands, and looking forward to using those up at the deer lease and cutting firewood and all that stuff keeping them in the truck.
The company that cuts and sews the initial patterns and stuff for us has been making gloves for almost 90 years.
Dang.
So we get them, and then we do our finish on them. And
so you're all doing, you have the buffalo and then the elk hide.
Yep, and then we have a couple different basic cowhide variations.
Yeah.
We get the question, like, what's better, the buffalo or the elk? It's kind of here. I mean, the buffalo's, you know, darker brown, obviously. But as far as durability goes, I mean, you're kind of splitting hairs on.
They've been around for a while. So
yeah,
you know,
they've been,
be good.
Yeah. And so I'm like, you know what? You can pick a cast iron pan off the fire hot and you can hold it for as long as you need to. It ain't going to burn your hand. And you can't do that with, you know, your cheap, you know.
No.
Hardware store gloves or anything like that. Yep. So yeah, we've been doing those for about, going on 8 years, I think, we've been doing gloves.
They're nice. I've been, like, wanting to push the button to order, and I was like, I don't know what size be best. And it's like, I'll catch up with you pretty soon.
Yep.
Well. And we get them, and then we got them, and it was perfect.
Good.
So
I'm glad you like them. Put them to good use.
I'm excited to get those used. So we're here at the Warren Ranch, and we're going to be doing some fishing and stuff like that we talked about earlier. But I know you came from the West Coast, right?
Yeah. So I grew up in Washington State, up in the Cascades. And so I spent my, like, early outdoor years. I had relatives in Alaska, so we would fish and travel and explore Alaska. And then growing up in Washington, that kind of stuff. We didn't really hunt. I didn't come from a hunting family as far as my dad and that. We raised our own cows and pigs.
Yeah.
So we didn't really have a need. Our freezers were full. We didn't really have
a
need.
You didn't have to go out.
Yeah, we didn't. It wasn't like a necessity until I got older and moved out on my own. And fishing, though, was good because we lived just up from the Cedar River, which is kind of a main river there in our little town that we grew up in. So, you know, as a 10, 12-year-old kid, I'd hop on my bike and, you know, it was a 2-3 mile ride down to the river and spend all day just catching, you know, brook trout and rainbows and stuff like that. So
that'd been nice.
Oh, it was. But what's funny is I look back and I'm like, would I let my kids now, even out where we live in the country, would I let them ride into town to go fishing? Like, a little different time, you know. My parents didn't know. We didn't have cell phones. It was like, all right, just be back after dark, you know. So a little different time. But so we'd fish the rivers and everything. And then with my uncle, who was kind of my outdoor mentor, I guess you could say, hunting moose and caribou in Alaska, and so was immersed into all that with him. And big animal, you know, watching him break down big animals and having freezers full of caribou and moose sausage and everything.
Nice.
Oh God, it was.
I've had caribou once. A buddy of mine gave me some, and then I've been up in Alaska before and seen some of those animals, and gosh, they're big.
Yeah, they
are. Whitetail look like little.
Oh, yeah.
Little
it's like
babies.
it's their calves, you know. And so, and then we did a lot of fishing. We used to go we would go twice a year to Yakutat, Alaska. I don't know if you know where Yakutat's at. It's very tip of the you know, the Aleutian Islands come up down. It's a very tip. You can get there by plane or by boat. And so we would fly into Yakutat twice a year for sockeyes and kings and then silvers, the silver run. And from there, you get in a bush plane and fly up to one of the other rivers or the glaciers and that kind of stuff. And bring home 50, 60 pounds of salmon every twice a year.
Yeah.
Whew, I've missed that. I'm like down here, and I moved to Texas, and I'm like, well, I can kill a lot of deer.
Whole different ball game.
A whole different ball game, and it's fun. I do. I mean, I enjoy it, but it's just not. You know, it's just not what I'm used to.
It's different. I mean, it's just like big game hunting in the West. I mean, it's a total different lifestyle, and everything versus hunting whitetail in the Midwest and South, and.
But what I like is that people go. I watch my buddies, and they're like, "Yeah, I got my deer this year." I'm like, "You got your one deer?" Like,
yeah,
like I got to shoot five times.
Yeah,
you know?
Five tags,
and I've got five,
four turkey tags.
Yep. And I'm like,
shot like 86 hogs.
Yeah, and both my sons had their five tags. My daughter's got hers. I'm like, we shot 20 deer. Like, what do you mean one deer? So, it's just you're balancing. You know, one area for the other. Pros and cons to both.
We were talking about turkeys earlier this morning because I walked outside and you were like, they're gobbling right off the roost. And then about 20 minutes later, we seen them cutting across the field here and the tom strutting behind all the hens.
I know.
And,
just makes
and then turn around and
every
later,
hair stands up on your
they're
back.
They're standing
your neck.
Right over here on the road by the lake. So
teasing us because we got what, another week?
South Zone in Texas opens this weekend, and then
I'm in the South Zone,
and then North Zone opens next weekend, the 29th of March.
Yeah, for me the cutoff is I think it's 1604 Highway is the cut, and I live a mile or two from, so I'm like right on. So if I have buddies on this side, you know, because sometimes the zones will start at different times.
Yeah, Texas changed the zoning a little bit, I think a couple of years ago on the North South Zone. Very on certain parts of it and stuff, but where I hunt's always been in the North Zone. But I'm looking forward to it, man. Turkey's just like my favorite thing
to
hunt.
I can tell.
It's just like
every time your phone goes off, it's
the turkey
ringer
calls on there. But they're exciting.
Yeah,
I mean,
well, it's not easy either. You know,
sometimes you go out and you call, and these birds are just like, that was the dumbest bird ever. He just walked right up.
Yeah.
You know, hadn't been here 30 minutes. And then you can chase a bird for hours.
Yeah.
And may not even ever see him, you know. And they can be right. I mean, I've had birds come up to me within 20 yards, and we could never see the turkey. And this is in South Texas where it's just all scrub brush.
Yeah.
And it's at the perfect height. Like, if they don't step in an opening and they're behind a bush, you'll never see the things.
Yeah.
And
we were in San Saba one year, and – I had my oldest son at the time. He must have been maybe 8, 9, I don't know. And we were staying at our relatives there, camping in the trailer, and we kept hearing turkeys on one of the pecan orchards just out from us, and it was season. And I was like, Andrew, let's grab the stuff. Let's go out, you know. So we went out there, and we were making some calls, and we were getting them to talk back. And we saw them and talked to another guy. I said, oh, yeah, they roost up in that area. You got to hit that early in the morning. And so next morning, he and I go out there. And, of course, he's a little guy, you know, and he's just getting impatient. And we were kind of hunkered down this one area. And I kept telling him, son, you have to have patience. Turkey hunting, just patience. I know that's tough. You're like 8, 9, 10, whatever. Patience, you know. And we could hear him moving, and I said, we're going to move over to this pecan, like, you know, not too far, 15, 20 feet to this other pecan tree. So, and I said, I want you to stay right behind me. We had some good cover where they were coming on this other side of the orchard.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm literally straddling this, and we're hunkered down, straddling this smaller pecan, and I've got my rifle, my shotgun across my lap, and call, and hey, daddy's coming. I just, oh, and he come, and I knew he was right there, and I stuck my head up. And that bird, boom, gone. And my son looks at me and goes, patience, Dad. Oh, I will never forget that. And to this day, patience, Dad. And I was like, yes, I know, patience. And if I literally would have waited probably 20 more seconds, I would have had him. He would have been on the orchard, and then, you know, it's game over at that point. But I was so excited. And, you know, you just get so amped up about it. And
they can see so freaking well. I mean, I remember we were at my lease, I think it was probably about 2 to 3 years ago. My daughter was with me, and we were sitting on the edge of a tree line, a little Oakmont there, and it had a big open area out in front of us, and I had one calling, answering back to us, and he popped out on the other side where the tree line was across from him. I'm talking like 300, 400 yards away, And he was just standing there looking. Like, you could see him easily. The sun was shining off his feathers and everything. And he was, like, glowing almost. And I was like, man, that's a big old tom. And I was like, just don't move. And I just remember her little boot just barely.
That's all it takes.
Barely.
Right?
Twitched her foot, and that turkey looked right at us. Of course, I mean, they know where you're at when you're calling.
Yeah.
And, man, he just looked right at us, and he was just like, nope.
I'm out of here.
And he turned around and scurried off, and I was just like, I mean, that's a long ways away for them to be that attentive and in tune with their surroundings. But, I mean, everything's trying to eat you, so you better be on
your A game. And that's why they're so much fun to hunt, you know. And yeah. So I don't know. Hopefully, I'll be able to find a place to get out to this season. So.
Yep. So you get your kids out a lot, right? I know you do a lot of. I know you do a lot of shooting.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We almost weekly. You know, well, depending on the price of ammo. and so lately my daughter loves shooting like the .22 caliber pellet rifles.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, she can go through, you know, those little round tins of those things. I'm like, yeah, you shoot that all day long. I said, we got to go easy on the other stuff. So, but yeah, we do a lot of shooting. And and she got her first first whitetail buck last season. Was probably the best hunt of my life. And my boys, they didn't get out this last. We only got out a couple times this last season, so for a variety of reasons. But so we're looking forward to starting it up again. So it's fun having everybody involved.
Yeah, well, that's good deal. So, well, I know we're doing a little clay shoot and some other stuff here tomorrow night.
Yeah,
I believe.
Looking forward to getting some people over there.
Yeah, getting to use see some of. We've got some of your products on display here at the ranch for everybody to take a look at. And I know we'll be posting a bunch of stuff throughout the time here and mm-hmm. after. And we'll also be having links to everything that you guys do. But kind of tell everybody where they can follow you on social and how they can check out some of your gear, what your website and all that stuff is.
So the website's badgerclawoutfitters.com. Our main social media-wise mainly is just Instagram. And it's badger_claw_leather. On Instagram. We do have a Facebook page, but it's a whole nother story where it's like locked out of it. We can't make changes to it. There's no admin associated to it, and we can't get anybody to help us with it.
Yeah.
So if you message me through there, it just gives you an auto reply and tells you to email me. But Instagram's the best, or through the website. There's contact stuff there. And and we try to really get a lot of people. If you're interested in what we do and on our products, join our email list, because especially with social media the way it is, not a lot of people see our stuff. We post guns and knives and, we're shadow banned and all that. But nobody can control our email list. We get to send those out. So we try to send out an email about every 10 days, just updates on new products or if we've got a special or a sale or something going on. So the email list is on the website as well.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, because you usually hide some little coupon codes in there every once
If you read to the end.
I read them.
I do. I like to. And I was thinking about doing that on my YouTube. I started a YouTube channel. I got my middle son helping me with that. And I was thinking about doing that on the YouTube channel, like a kind of like a Where's Waldo thing, like somewhere in the video, if you're paying attention, you know, hey, here's free shipping or here's 15% or
right.
something.
Right. And every little bit helps these days.
Well, it does. So. It does. And it gets people, you know, we as a business, as a content creator, you want to have stuff that people are interested in. And that's a challenge these days, because there's so much content out there, you know, bombarding people with. So,
Well, that's kind of the whole purpose of this thing, is just getting the word out about what you guys are doing. Everybody that's a guest here, sponsors and all that stuff. And, networking is such a big deal, and being able, like you said, it's like a game of chess trying to get your product in front of people on social media, just because of the algorithms and everything that.
But what's cool about here, what is so special, what you've done here is what I've noticed just since a lot of people showed up here in the last hour or so, not everybody knows everybody, but everybody knows somebody else that knows them through kind of whatever six degrees of separation.
Exactly.
And that I can't see this should be doubled next year. You should be doubling this. I mean, you'll run out of space, obviously, at the ranch. But,
it's definitely grown every year. It just keeps getting bigger.
Phenomenal.
So
it's just phenomenal. So
it's been cool, man. And I'm glad you're a part of it now. And thank you for the support.
Well,
and
we're not going anywhere. That's for sure.
Stuff and excited to see what this weekend brings.
Yeah,
so.
It's looking good. So looking forward to getting out on the water and getting behind
the shotguns. We need to get you down and bring the kids down and go fishing with me sometime.
Oh yeah. I would love
to definitely get out and do some stuff this summer. So
yeah, I'd like to get out and do some reds. I haven't done that. So
yep, we got plenty of stuff going on down where we're at. So the warmer it gets, the more fish show up.
Yeah.
And all these different species from offshore and down south will start rolling in.
Oh, it's just some of the stories you were telling about some of the sharks and some of the – it's just it's crazy to me.
Yeah, so. You never know. You literally never know what you're going to catch down there in the Gulf of Mexico. So it's cool. But, John, it's been good.
Yes, appreciate
thanks for
it.
Being
thanks,
on.
Sir.
All right. Advice. We'll see you.
Okay.
Down at the bar, fiddle tunes and homemade booze, but it always goes too far. Shooting pool, cracker jack, take off now and don't look back. But hey, don't you wanna play? Hold on, sugar, why you look so sad? Come on now, mama, ain't nothing here so bad. You got fast cars, movie stars, party on down the street with Mary Jane, good cocaine, lay it down there again. Double down, throw some dice, take off now, don't think twice. But hey, don't you wanna play? Baby, go on. Tell me where you wanna go. But baby, I don't work down there anymore. No, I don't. Come on now.